The Questing Dude.
So today we're talking to Logan Jenkins. Hi there, Logan, and welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Absolutely. Talking to lots of people about ZineQuest is apparently what ZineQuest is all about, so thank you for coming. And if you'd like to take a moment to reintroduce yourself and remind everyone what you do in indie tabletop role-playing games.
Yeah, I'm Logan Jenkins. I am one of the co-hosts of the podcast Very Random Encounters, where we play tabletop role-playing games and randomize as much as is possible. Notably for this podcast, it's not just D&D. We're one of the few actual plays that plays a lot of different games of all different levels of indie to mainstream. And then I also...
Absolutely, yeah.
I have another podcast called Game Mechanics, which you've been on before, and that's still, I'm still in the hopper for season two, but I'm getting back to it. And then,
yay. I love that podcast.
Oh, yay. And then for ZineQuest, I have launched my first actual TTRPG, which is called I'm Sure You're All Wondering Why I've Gathered You Here This Evening, which Kickstarter cannot support. I only got to I'm Sure You're All Wondering Why I've Gathered You Here... ..
Oh, that's disappointing.
It is. It truly is.
Long role-playing game names are definitely a big mood for me.
Yeah, same.
I love long role-playing game names.
Me too. I've always, like, as soon as I had that in my head, of like, that's what I think I want to name it, I just fell more and more in love with that. And when Kickstarter said it was too long, I was just like, whatever.
So I was sort of hoping it was going to be a kind of Midsummer Murders style game, but do you want to give us a bit of a elevator pitch as to what it actually is?
Yeah, so you play either as the butler, which is sort of a GM type role, or as one of the 12 guests who have been invited to this mansion on an island that's otherwise uninhabited. And it's a very incredible mansion. The island is owned privately, and the butler tells you that you can inherit this mansion, the island that's on, all the fortune that goes along with it, but only if you are the last surviving person in the house at dawn, other than the butler. The butler.
Spooky.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
Well, I mean, the rules of the game in the game are that if you kill the butler, the game's null and void, but that doesn't stop you from trying. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of an RPG.
That is the beauty of an RPG. Yeah. If it all suddenly turns out a bit sore rather than anything else.
That's another thing is, like, it's a pretty dark theme. And the video on Kickstarter and the illustrations by John Turner, which are fantastic, all contribute to the vibe that I want to give off, which is like, this is more Vincent Price, a murdery mansion thing, where like you're playing all these despicable people that have melodramatic reactions to everything. And there is murder for sure, but it's like goofy. It's too goofy to take it to that dark of a place of like a Saw thing or something like that.
Yes, it seems more like dark comedy murder than, well, just dark horror. So yeah, I'm very down with that. It's the kind of thing that I would find very funny. That sounds fun. Do you want to kind of hint at sort of what kind of stories it ends up telling based on that premise?
Yeah. So I've played a bunch of playtests at this point, but they all involved me when I was doing them. So, you know, this, take this with a grain of salt, because any game can turn out totally differently. But it tends to be somebody, there's like a little mini game in the game where if you can get a detective role sort of thing, and it's played with a standard deck of playing cards. So the cards are all, the more cards that are face up, the more information you have available. So somebody can really be an Agatha Christie type and start trying to figure out who everybody is. And that gives you big benefits. So there, it tends to spiral into these, like, one person has taken on, like, I'm the detective. And one person is, it takes on the role of like, yeah, I'm actually just going to murder all y'all. And, but
it's, and everything in between.
And everything in between. I've had one instance where somebody was attempting to kill somebody in a bathroom, and somebody else had a power to stop them. And then somebody stopped that power, and then somebody else was like, no, that's still going to happen. So it got into a weird loop of how, like, basically every single player was involved in this murder attempt, either trying to make it happen or make it stop. Yeah, and so all of that also leads to the fact that you can either, like, be very antagonistic to your fellow players or help them, either one. If you do die, you don't, it's, the game's not over for you. You you inhabit the mansion as a ghost. And yeah, you can affect the goings on
That's
in the
exciting.
Mansion. Yeah. And so all of those things, the relationships that got built
up. I mean, that
up,
would just encourage me to die early, really. I mean, who doesn't want to play a semi-murderous ghost?
I've got great news because, like, I only have a couple of ghost moves in there currently, but my friend Alan Girding, who's part of Tuesday Night Games, suggested a bunch of other ghost things, and they all sound awesome, and I'm definitely going to incorporate them. So there's going to be a deeper game to be played when even after you die.
I'm liking the irony of using the word incorporate for a ghost, but
oh, I want to use that pun.
That's a very random encounters level pun.
So. Well, you know, I appreciate those. You know,
I'm going to end up in pun jail.
You should be pun-ished.
Sense the pungent. Must be stopped. So I think we've hit on a bunch of points there that all sound very fun and dark and funny. So that's really cool. How do you make sure that interplayer conflict is not a thing, just intercharacter conflict?
Yeah. So that's, again, it's all part of like establishing the mood. Obviously, like, there's lots of playtesting to be done before I can fully sort of get those out of the way. But starting it as like, this is melodrama, or just like putting down like, you know, be silly, all of this, don't take this seriously. I think that making sure that's like forefront of like, this shouldn't be Saw is very important to me. And I think that that does, yeah, just like establishing tone is a huge thing for player expectations, as well as like what the players expect of their characters.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And so far, there haven't been any hurt feelings. I almost hope that I get into a playtest where something like that happens, so I can at least identify like, oh, this is what the problem is there. Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, you can't super force that. But
no, well, you shouldn't try.
And you shouldn't try.
Yeah. It's not really fair to try.
Right. That's some kind of like prisoner experiment stuff that I don't want to get into.
But that sounds fun.
I just want to put forth that, like, you know, put on your Vincent Price accent and act silly.
Act silly.
Yeah. You're not going to really take home a
really,
mansion.
Really fun.
Yeah. So far, there's been more laughter than anything else in all of the playtests that I've done so far, which is very heartening to me.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah. No, that's really good. So you mentioned playbooks there. Is it what kind of a game is it in terms of where the mechanics have been inspired from?
Like a lot of projects, I was like, I'm just going to do the littlest thing that I can and then put it on itch.io as my first little thing. My initial inspiration was actually Nathan Blades does a bunch of like one-page RPGs. And I was like, huh, I wonder if I could make a one-page RPG that's basically Agatha Christie novel. And then I started writing a bunch of stuff and I was like, hey, this might actually be bigger than that. And the mechanics themselves sort of take in equal parts from existing like TTRPG moves. You get a secret card, which won't remain secret for the whole game, but your secret card gives you essentially like a playbook of moves that you can do. So in that way, it's kind of like a Powered by the Apocalypse thing, and that you're going to be given a couple of things that you can do on your turn that nobody else can, or probably nobody else can.
Maybe, who knows?
Well, somebody else could get your same, like it's all divided into the different suits of cards and even or odd. So there's 8 different essentially playbooks there. And there's also moves that everybody shares. And then there's also moves that you can only do if you're dead.
Cool. Yeah. Ghost moves.
Yeah. Ghost moves. And then it also takes some board game stuff. Like I used to really like Kill Dr. Lucky. I don't know if anybody's played that game, but it's like Reverse Clue.
It rings a bell.
Yeah. It's exactly Reverse Clue. Like everybody shows up to this house and they all hate the person who owns the house. And so your goal is to be the person who gets to murder the person who owns the house.
Right.
Which also sounds really dark, but, and I guess it is, but it's also goofy and funny. Again, that's presentation. Yeah. But like Clue in that game, there's an actual board where you're like moving pieces in the mansion. So each turn you can move around to a different room. And if you open a new room, you get to be the person who says, this is what this room is. And you fill in some details about it.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little 3x3 card thing.
That's really cool. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Do you play it with playing cards or just have a custom deck or?
This is a standard deck of playing cards with Jokers removed. I've launched the Kickstarter and we hit all of our stretch goals. So now I'm trying to figure out what to do next. And
custom cards.
A lot of people want custom cards, but that's a whole other logistical thing that I haven't planned for. So I'm very like, that's scary to me right now.
Yeah, be afraid. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, a custom deck of cards from John Turner would be incredible. That is contingent on what that does to the price of everything and even what John's ability. Illustrator John Turner has been very kind with his time as far as like there's a tier of the Kickstarter where you can get your portrait in the book, like basically your portrait is hanging up somewhere in the mansion, which I think is really fun, and a lot of people seem to have gone for that.
That's great fun.
Yeah, but I don't want to just be like, okay, well, the next 3 months of your life you gotta just do this, sorry John. So
yeah, I don't know if you listen to Turtle Bun's podcast, but Evan Rowlands and Hannah Schaefer do a podcast where they talk about game mechanics, and they did exactly that for Good Dog, Bad Zombie. They asked people to send them in photos of their pets that they would go into the special edition of the game, and they spent 4 years of their life turning photos of dogs into playing cards.
4 years? Oh my goodness.
Maybe it was 3 years. Yeah.
Yowza.
And it's been a whole saga, and they've basically decided that they never want to make another game like that.
Aww.
So yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
I at least was like, hey, what's like the maximum that you feel comfortable allowing for that? And John said 10. So we have a very strict limit on that particular 10. Thing.
Yeah, that's a good limit. Oh, phew. Amazing. That sounds really, really cool. I think like we've jumped the gun a bit there, because normally now I ask you about what the Kickstarter campaign's like. So do you want to round that off with the rest of the details for us?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward Kickstarter as far as like you can pledge $5 for just the PDF, $10 for a print and the PDF, and then $150 for that portrait. So that's a large sum, of course, but I, you know, I've read a lot of stuff about like don't cap your whales is what they say in the Kickstarter world. I think it's kind of a steal to get your portrait in this game. I launched yesterday and I'm
what?
Yeah.
And you've already burned through all your stretch goals.
I've already burned through all my stretch goals. I don't know if that's like a function of me not knowing how to space out stretch goals or what, but obviously the support from everybody has really surprised me a lot.
Yeah, that's wild. Wow. That's yesterday, the 10th, as of this, the recording of this. So I guess that's until the 24th that's running. So when this goes out, you will be in the final 48 hours. So you need to go and back this now if you'd like the sound of it, which you should because it sounds awesome.
Aww.
Hopefully you will have worked out that you can do a custom deck of playing cards by then.
You know, that's my fondest wish, is just I want to make sure I'm not committing to 3 years of John's life drawing cards.
It's not a tarot deck, you know, each card can look kind of samey.
Right, yeah, and I mean, honestly, he's already designed the suit drawings.
Sure.
So that gets you pretty far along, because from 2 to 10, you don't really need anything except for those. But then, so you, I don't know, probably need unique face cards. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I don't want to push him into doing that, but it does sound cool.
Yeah. I mean, and you're not the only person who's spoken up about it. So it's clearly something people want. We'll see what we can do.
Do you want to name drop any of your other collaborators while we're here, or is it just you and John Turner?
Heck yeah. I was going to say, like, hopefully we'll make this stretch goal, but we have. I'm collaborating with a ton of awesome people. They're going to make deceased playbooks. So normally in the game, like, everybody at the table adds a couple of details about who the deceased is, the person who is hosting this game.
Sure.
So I'm going to have some deceased playbooks in the book now. And each of those are going to basically skip that part of the creation. But they're also, like, I'm making it clear to all these artists, like, do whatever you want. Please remix this game in a weird way. Like, we don't want just old rich people as these deceased playbooks. You know what I mean? Because that's the standard. Yeah. That's the standard base game. Nathan Blades is going to be writing a deceased playbook. Victoria Rogers from the Broadswords. Jess Ross from D20 Dames. Alan Gerding from Tuesday Night Games. Riley Hopkins. He wrote Interstitial, those Link Smith games.
Wow. It just gets better.
Greg Litherman, who did Glitter Hearts, and Lee Terrell. Greg and Lee are both co-hosts on Rare Random Encounters with me. So I'm
good folks at all.
So excited. I'm so excited about that.
I'm thrilled. That sounds amazing. I'm very excited as to see what gets done with that and like where it goes.
Me too. Really, I've given them basically carte blanche. Like, you can change any of the rules you want. You can do whatever you want with these. So I'm really excited to see what they do.
Logan, that sounds brilliant. And I'm very excited for it. So
thanks.
Let's hope it keeps ramping up the funding.
I hope so.
So Logan, would you like to tell us where we can find you online?
Sure. Twitter.com/LoganTJenkins. And again, podcast Very Random Encounters. And soon Game Mechanics will come back for season 2. Soon TM. Yay. There.
And I guess all that remains for me to say is thank you very much for coming on Yes Indeed Pod, and fantastically good luck with the rest of your Kickstarter campaign.
Woohoo! Does Indy need me?
Don't you stop. Yes Indeed Pod is hosted and edited by Mark Shepherd of Marks of High Water. You can contact the show on Twitter at YesIndeedPod, that's YesIndeedPod, or support the show by leaving a rating or review or donating through Ko-Fi at Yes Indeed Pod. Intro and outro music is from Take a Chance, and interstitial music is from BitQuest, both by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and Filmmusic.io. Until next time, remember, does Indy need you? Yes, indeed.